Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. I was robbed.
You were robbed?
Yeah. I went to fill up my gas tank.
Oh.
And there was a pump there with a leather jacket and a switchblade.
He said, hey, say, ma, ma, ma.
Said, give me all your money, see?
Ma, ma, ma.
What the hell is going on?
Oh, my God, yeah. Every, like, day, the price changes. It just be like a little couple of days go by, and now it's like every single day.
I'm going to walk to work.
Good.
It'll be cheaper.
You could do the midday for Phil by the time you get here.
And I could fit into my wedding dress.
Seriously.
It is crazy. Like, what was 35 is now 55, literally.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what the hell?
It's ridiculous.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
And it's like New York City. When you get mugged there, you call a cop. They're like, yeah, what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the way things are.
Well, at least your tenants are nice.
Do I have that report from News 8?
Welcome back. Warning, today's gas prices may cause gas pain. The rising cost is getting hard to stomach. Today, the average price for a gallon of unleaded.
What?
pun.
It is really, no one's walked into a television news station and said, let's do something different. Let's get off the 1955 model.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
For a gallon of unleaded, jumped to $3.45 per gallon. News 8's Ken Houston has more on whether it'll let up anytime soon.
Drive up
the hell did he just fly in like Superman?
It is I, Reporter Man.
I am here at the gas station.
Reporter Man.
Yeah, he just landed from Houston. That's
right.
Drive up to any gas station and you're bound to hear.
It's getting harder to go back and forth to work or just to have fun.
I like that guy. I could spend the whole afternoon with him.
He sounds
fun. Tell me story after story.
Yep. Regale me with tales.
Yeah. Yes. Let's play harmonica, sit on the porch and
nice.
Sing blues.
And not buy gas.
Right. And stay away from the gas station.
Gas prices, the hot topic of the day.
Cost me, $65, $70 just to fill the gas tank.
Whoa.
65 to 70?
Yeah.
That has to be one of those Suburbans that's like the size of a bus.
Well, I'll put 50 in my tank in my truck and it'll give me 3/4 of a tank.
Damn.
Okay. So, math.
I'm paying, what's it now? La, 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 la.
All right. La, 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 la. Yeah. All right, back to the report.
Thank you. And that's not easy.
Here's what's burning that hole in your pocket. According to AAA, a gallon of gasoline in Connecticut jumped from $2.17 last year to $3.45 as of today.
Hold on. $2.17.
Right.
$3.45.
Damn!
Crap. And where the hell can you find $3.45? That's regular, right? That's like the lowest grade, $3.45?
I assume when they say that price, that's what they're talking about.
Right.
I'm paying $3.38 over here.
Where, in the monkey cage?
No, over in right here in Milford.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, 345 is the state's average.
345.
Yeah.
Okay.
The 345 as of today. Experts say crude oil is a driving force behind this latest surge at the pumps.
Wait a minute. Hold it.
Breaking news! Everybody, just so you know, the gas prices are up because oil prices are up.
Oh, thank you. I had no idea.
Thank you, Ken Houston.
I had no idea. See, this is why he's the newsman.
Right, like all if right. The price of bacon was up and that was why, that's a story.
Right.
Right. no disrespect to Ken or
no, of course not,
News
no.
8.
No, no.
You got to put that in the story, right?
You do. That'd
of
be
course.
Helpful.
Okay.
That'd be helpful.
Behind this latest surge at the pumps.
It accounts for about 50-60% of the price. So right now, it's eclipsing $80 a barrel.
Demand for gas is another reason for the increase. More people are behind the wheel these days, returning to work as COVID-19 restrictions are lifting.
Really? Are they returning to work?
No.
I hear nothing but people can't find workers.
Yeah. Now they're returning to work. That's why the gas price is going up.
Is it...
Bull crap.
Can you call us and tell us when you're out there driving, does it feel like it's back? I still... What do I know? I'm not driving during drive time, but it doesn't feel the same to me yet.
I know there's a lot more traffic jams now than there was months ago.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Last year at this time.
Yep.
Not as much, but it doesn't feel like we're back 100%.
No.
All right.
A recent decision by OPEC not to increase production is also to blame.
Okay, did I not say this to the gas the guy?
Yes, you did.
Michael J. Fox.
Yep.
Yeah, not the actor, the other guy.
No.
Right.
Different.
Okay, it's exactly what I said.
Exactly. Almost word for word. Plagiarism.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah, traffic's crazy. So I drive to North White Plains every day from the valley. And it used to take an hour. Now it's like an hour and a half. And it's about 2 hours on the way home.
What did it take before COVID?
I was in there and back in an hour each way. And it's about 60 miles.
So it's worse now than it was before COVID?
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. Like I said, right now, I leave at 6. I got to be at work for 8. I'll get there like 7:30, 7:40.
Wow.
Yeah.
How much
is, I used to get there before 7.
How much are you spending a month in gas?
My car is pretty good. I usually, if I fill up, it's about $40, $45, and I'll get a tank and maybe a day will take me for the whole week. So it's probably about $50 a week at least.
That doesn't sound right. What are you trying? A mini bike?
No, but a lot of people aren't taking the train too, so traffic's getting worse.
I don't want to be in the train because of COVID.
That makes
sense. Yeah, if people start taking the trains, then gas prices won't be too crazy.
What are you driving? Where you're driving all that way and you're only doing one tank a week?
I got a new Hyundai Sonata. I get 35 miles a gallon. It's
good for you.
Huh.
Yeah, so
this would be a good time to
take the trains.
Wow, that's a long ride, brother. All right, thank you. Officer Joe?
Hey, guys. $3.27 a gallon at the end of Wheeler's Farms Road for gas. But when I started going to Brooklyn, it was during the pandemic. So I traveled. It would take me an hour 30 if I left the house by 4:30. Now it's at least 2 hours.
Really?
If I leave any later... like this morning, Wednesdays, I leave later. I don't get in. It's usually a 2.5 to 3 hour drive.
Damn. So it's longer now than before COVID.
Almost double.
Damn.
Almost.
That makes sense for the train thing. Folks don't want to go on the train.
Yeah.
Going over the Whitestone is just an absolute horror show. So.
All right. Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right. One more. We'll get back to this report about gas prices. Matt from Stanford.
Hi, good morning, guys. Traffic is absolutely horrendous. I drive from New Britain to Stanford every single morning.
Wow.
Before the pandemic, on average, about an hour just to get me to work during the pandemic. Now, since, restrictions are being lifted and I wake up every morning at 4:30 in the morning. I try to be in Bridgeport before 6 in the morning, and there's still traffic. And I still don't get to work. It takes me about an hour and a half to 2 hours just to get to work sometimes.
Damn.
Wow.
You know what it is, too? Someone told us this, and it just popped into my head. So it's not only people don't want to take the train. It's parents don't want their kids on the school bus.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So they're driving in.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
It all adds up.
Wow. New Britain to Stanford.
That's a haul.
Why do that to yourself?
Damn, man.
That's tough.
Gotta be a good job.
I should have asked him what he does. Like, you can't do that in New Britain? All right, let's hear the rest of this gas report.
A recent decision by OPEC not to increase production is also to blame.
As a result, the available supply of gasoline on the global market is starting to shrink as demand is going up.
And cracking here's nuts. The impact across the state.
Yeah, what is she doing?
Cracking
Can
walnuts.
You see it? Sounds like she's taking pictures with a 1935 camera.
It's a Zoom call, but I think it's just her going, like, thinking.
Oh. That's her mouth noises?
Yeah, it sounded like she's stapling something.
Oh.
Available supply of...
She has a nervous tick.
She's doing paperwork.
And here's the impact across the state. Fairfield is being hit the hardest at $3.51 for regular gasoline.
Okay, so this has nothing to do with gas prices. It's It's the regional pricing, because people in Fairfield County make more money, so the prices go up.
Right.
I remember driving out east to Long Island. You get to the Hamptons. I think gas prices were in the fours at the time.
Uh-huh.
It was $6 a gallon.
Yeah.
Because it's like, welcome to the Hamptons.
It was in Hampton, yes.
We know you got it. Uh-huh. And here's your only choice right now.
Right.
We know you got $6. We're going to get it.
Yeah. We know you got it. We know you need it. And we're not giving you any unless you give it up.
And have some Brie and crackers while you're waiting.
Yeah.
And at 340, Litchfield is not far behind. But in this case, Newton's law of motion, whatever goes up must come down, may be your best defense.
When crude oil prices hit maybe the $60 a barrel mark, $70 a barrel mark, we're going to get some relief.
But until then,
do what
Wait,
you have to
hold
do.
It.
We're getting
it's
some relief.
It's 80 now a barrel, and when the barrels go to 60, it's going to be lower.
Eh.
Well, that was worth the whole 3 minutes to figure out.
When does that happen?
The 12th of never.
Oh, yeah, AAA does a lot of great things.
Uh-huh.
I love the fact that you have, if you're a member, you call them in the middle of the night, and there they are. They come right out and get your car. But that sucked.
Yep.
that whole report sucked.
Yes.
Let's see. What do we learn? Gas prices are up. No dear.
Seriously. Well, I'm depressed. Thank
well,
you.
Well, when the barrel goes from 80 to 60, it'll be better. No dear.
Wow. Thought on yourself, did you?
Wow. That's a very, that's intense investigative reporting
that was
right
a
there.
Bold statement, I tell you that much.
Insightful.
Very bold.
That's what I want to know. Yes. When does it go down? What has to happen for it to go down?
Do what you have to do to cut your prices, maintain your car, inflate your tires, slow down. That is the number one thing.
In New Haven, Ken
Houston.
Okay,
that was helpful. What's inflation and why should I care?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Mr. Inflation, Eric Passeri, investment officer.
How's it going, guys?
And resident expert of inflation at Trinity Point Wealth. Good morning.
Good morning. They do call me Mr. Inflation here, so.
And why good way, right? is that? Are you
well,
eating too much?
I know a lot of, I am eating too much during COVID, obviously.
All of us.
But, I could start in on what inflation is.
Make it simple for us.
Yeah, dumb it down for me. Pretend you're talking to me.
Act like you're at a first grade class.
Picture my face.
All right. So basically, inflation rate is a measure of the rate of rising prices of all the goods and services that we could buy in a period of time. So what does that mean? Right now, inflation is running at 5.4% year over year. So most people are saying, I'm paying way more than that, I think. So the important thing is actually the definition, because the definition is all goods and services. And a lot of the stuff that is in there, because there's like over 6,000 items, you're not buying on a day-to-day basis, or some of the stuff you never buy ever. So that's one of the important things. But basically, what you could have bought if you bought all those products would be cost you 5.4% more than it did a year ago.
Okay, but if you're getting 3% a year increase in salary and things are going up 5.4% and taxes are going up, and then you're actually going backwards.
There's increases?
Right, that's good. Yeah, it basically is a negative rate of return. So, and that's what you're trying to stay away from.
Why are we hearing all of this? I've heard that word inflation more in the last couple months than I did when I was growing up.
Okay. So, and the reason being is over the past 10 years, inflation has been running at about 1.6%.
Oh, that's
right. So we always
why.
Expect... Yeah, we basically expect 1.6, 1.7. And normally people use like 2% as a number. And over the past 10 years, we've been less than that. So we haven't seen real inflation. I mean, the real inflation was back in the 70s.
Right.
When you end up having high inflation rate and also high unemployment, which is considered stagflation, which is the worst possibility. So people don't have work and prices are going up.
That we don't have a problem with. Now we have too many jobs for people, right?
That's absolutely correct. And that's one of the major reasons why We do have inflation. You know, there's a couple supply problems and there's a couple demand problems. And because of what's gone on in our economy, because our economy has been basically thrown around and trying to restart, everything is different and prices are different. If you're looking to buy, some items that you were buying a year and a half ago, they may be a lot cheaper. If you're looking for hand sanitizer, they sell it by the gallon for $3 now. And before, you're buying it on eBay for, $60 for a small container.
Right. Oh, yeah. Remember that?
That was price gouging at its best. Huge. Or worst, depending on how you want to look at it.
Right.
But I want to ask you this question because I've asked it to everybody and no one really knows.
Yep.
Where did all the workers go? Have you seen them?
Yeah, any idea?
I have no idea. All I know is when I leave the office, everyone's driving around, so I don't know where they're going, but people are going everywhere.
Yeah, we got the traffic back, but we can't find the workers. It's a big shortage. Now, are they just not coming back? They're still flushing cash.
You put on a milk
from
container.
The government?
Have you seen us?
Right. Yeah, I mean, people. You know, and some people change their lifestyle. You know, they're close to retirement or they think that they're good and they decided they're not coming back unless they get a better price.
Hmm.
So,
sure, be like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's some core reasons why we're having inflation. You hear a lot about it's temporary, and more than likely that will be. It's just we don't know how temporary that is. Is that
right.
Be 6 months or a year?
Right, six months or a year. Prices will continue to rise or stay around here?
We don't know. Some areas, I always tell people if it's 5.4%, well, what does that mean to me? Well, if you bought every single good and item in there, you'd be 5.4%. But I'll show you an example, right? So if you bought a new car, it's up 8.7%. If you bought a used car, it's up 24%.
Wow.
You know, fuel, oil, and gas is up 46%. But there's some things like, steaks are up 22%, but hot dogs are down 2%. You know, seafood is up 11%, but canned seafood's down 2%. So,
why?
I mean, I'm not saying.
So everything has its own story as to why.
But hot dogs and tuna.
Exactly.
Some of it could be it's just sitting on a dock somewhere in a container and there's no truck drivers. It could be the specialized service people that we need for that particular product aren't around.
Yeah.
Right. And then on the other side is the demand side. One of my favorites is, out of the list of all the items, I picked out one or two, but also you got sewing machines down 10%. I don't know who's buying sewing machines. But,
right. Remember that?
Yep.
That was a thing.
That was a grandma thing.
That was a grandma thing.
Let me fix your pants.
Exactly.
Let me put a button back on here.
Yeah. Let me get the swinger out.
It's dropped dramatically. And then, personal care products were down big time at one time because no one was buying deodorant or shampoo.
Yeah, I know.
Or whatever like
try going to the gym.
And I wasn't showering.
Jeez, like onion fields in here.
Funny, that's right.
Oof, damn.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a great deal for the holidays, you can buy the Mrs. Sewing machine and some personal care
and deodorant. Yes,
I don't think that would go over well, but
what are you trying to say?
You think
that was a fun laugh? We could play that at a haunted house. Eric is on Mr. Inflation. He's an investment officer and resident expert on inflation at Trinity Point Wealth. So let's just say we're worried about this or we have 401k and we're like, we're getting close here to retirement and don't want to see my 401k get cut in half with one of those bubble popping events.
Yep.
What do you do?
All right. Well, 401ks are a perfect example. So, when you get within 5 years of retirement, that's when you're supposed to really dial down the amount of risk that you're taking. And the reason being is over a five-year period, traditionally the markets would come back. But if you're 1 year or 2 years away from retirement, then that's when traditionally you would move more money out of stocks and more to safety. But I always tell people
safety being what? Bonds?
Yeah, and also bonds, you got to take a look at those bonds because interest rates are going up. So longer-term bonds and locking yourself in at 1.5% may not be the greatest idea.
Hmm.
So maybe put more shorter-term bonds, and as rates do increase, you can increase your rate of return. So that's one of the things. But also, if you're in a 401k for your 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 40, even 50-year-old, When the market comes down, you should be relative. You know what? You're not happy about it, but you're putting money into the stock market or the bond market every week or every 2 weeks or every month through your paycheck. So when you have these drops in the market, you're buying those shares of mutual funds at a lower price every week or every month. And by the time it gets back to even, you actually are up because you bought throughout that whole six-month period where the market was down. That happened back last year. If you were, you know, in March, no one wanted to buy stocks, but in your 401k, you kept on putting money in, and, you know, sooner or later, the market got back to even, but you were up 5%.
Yeah, you were buying at a good price. Yeah, I noticed that. Like, my 401k looks really good, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, I'd like it to stay that way. I want to move stuff around so it doesn't fluctuate, you know, because anytime there's a big upswing, there's usually an opposite.
That can be the case, but you have to look long term.
Right.
Long term planning. You look at 5-year returns, look at 10-year returns. That, you know, sometimes you just don't want to open up the statement, and I understand that. But you're thinking long term and realizing that you are saving at that point when it goes down, you're buying at cheaper prices.
It's funny because right after 2020, when I got my quarterly for the 501k, I didn't even open it. I just stuck it in the file.
Really?
I'm like, I don't even want to know.
Don't even look.
How much I lost.
Do I know?
You know? Well, you know what? And that normally does happen. If you don't open that one statement, they wait for the next quarterly statement, you would have thought nothing
much better
went wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Nice.
I mean, 2020, you had a pandemic, you had people out of work, that kind of stuff. And if you never open up your statement, you open your December 31st statement, you say, oh, wow, I'm up 13%.
Yeah. The key advice you'd give to someone who's 18, 20, 25, whatever, is start now. Right. And do as much as you can.
Absolutely. You know, I always tell people, because I speak to 401k participants all the time, I always tell them, even if it's an extra $50 a month, put it away. Think about where you can save $50. It's relatively easy. You know, you cut down on a couple Starbucks. You get rid of one subscription, and all of a sudden, you got $50 going in, an extra $50 going in every month. That's $600. And if you're a 20-year-old, think about that. That's one little extra money is going to be $600, and it's going to compound over 40 years. You'd be surprised on how much money you
How much do you think that would be?
Well, I mean, if you're looking at it, if you take the rule of 72, if you make 7.2%, your money doubles every 10 years.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. How are you doing on your 401k, AJ?
I have $46.
In your pocket?
Yes, I do.
All right, good. That's good.
I'm going to invest in lottery later.
That's good.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
Thank you for jumping in with the Connecticut Make-A-Wish, too.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We love that.
Yeah. Now we appreciate
it. Pretty cool.
You're good members of the community.
Good
thank
people.
You, talk to Joe Myers, our movie guy.
Oh.
He has a list for us.
Okay.
It's top 5 horror movies.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I did. This was hard, you know, because there are so many horror movies, and I wanted to cover, you know, some classics, some more recent things. So I could have done probably 10 or 20, but.
So is this horror movies or horror movie franchises?
Well, I have both. Which do you want?
Oh. Let's do franchises.
Yeah, go with that one. Go with that one.
Okay. Yeah. I had at the top Halloween, you know, due to the holiday. I mean, there are 11 movies they've made in this series since 1978. And I got to say, the new one, Halloween Kills, is not very good.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. It sort of, they went off the rails. They have the whole town chasing after Michael, and it sort of makes a statement about mob violence and just the sort of stuff you don't really want to see in a slasher horror movie. It almost has like a political.
Do you feel bad for Michael?
They almost do that, which is kind of nutty. You know what I mean? They really make him, in parts of the movie, almost like the victim of this mob violence. The kid who was one of the kids being babysat has grown up into Anthony Michael Hall, and he leads the mob through the streets chasing after Michael. They go after the wrong guy at one point who kills himself. You know, it's really kind of off the wall.
So Anthony Michael Hall got a gig? The Breakfast Club kid's a badass.
Yeah, he's the grown-up kid from the first movie.
Wow. All right, he's working. Cool.
Yeah, but I don't go to see something like that for a political statement or some kind of a real plot.
No.
Blood.
All right, which one's the bad guy? Right. And then let's look at the teenagers. Yeah, they're all going to go except for this one.
Right.
And that's the game, guessing who's going to be the last one.
Right, place your bets.
Absolutely.
They always give you that jerk somewhere early, and you're like, oh, you are so dead. And they don't kill him off right away because you're just, damn. Oh, damn.
When did I get to him?
Oh, and they keep giving him more.
Hello.
Yeah. Jerky moments.
Right.
Oh.
He's such a jerk.
And then he dies, like, slowly.
Right.
Painfully. And you're like, yeah!
Excruciating.
And the whole theater goes nuts. Right? That's the best.
It is.
Absolutely. Yeah,
makes America great.
There was none of that?
Yes.
There was none of that. And you know, they don't really explain, like, where has Michael been hanging out for the last 40 years? You know, because they rebooted the whole thing. They pretended with the last one that came out a couple of years ago that none of the prior sequels existed. But they don't explain where he's been, you know, just sort of lurking, waiting to attack the Jamie Lee Curtis character 40 years later. They also don't explore the fact that the earlier movies showed that he was sort of a supernatural being who couldn't be killed. So when they're going after him to, quote, kill him, it's like, well, he can't be killed.
That's true.
So
right.
It really makes it makes very little sense. It makes very little sense.
We can incinerate him
because it's such a great franchise.
Wood chipper, that'll work.
You're looking for the Frankenstein or the Dracula or whatever, and that was our Frankenstein.
Yes.
Yeah, and it led to, you know, Friday the 13th and all the other movies of that type that came out in the 80s.
And those were good. They had a backstory. He was in the mental hospital, then he broke out.
Yeah.
Like, all of that was good.
Yeah, yeah. There was a history.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
There was nothing like that first one where he's walking down the street slowly. And Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, she was the babysitter, and she's like,
Tommy! Tommy, it's me!
And you see him just coming down the street.
Right. Yeah. Just sauntering.
Like, this is really...
Tension.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's a couple actors, a street.
And a band.
And this Casio.
Yes.
Which I think is just John Carpenter.
Yeah.
He's just banging on
keys. It's John Carpenter just sort of doodling.
Actually, she wants the music to stop.
Shut the Casio off! It's annoying!
What the hell? You have coffee or what?
God, they just did such a good job with that. And it really didn't cost a lot of money to make that. It's a stupid William Shatner mess.
A couple $100,000, and, you know, it just made a fortune, and the sequels have, you know, made so much money. And, I mean, the truth is, this new one grossed a lot of money over the weekend. It did $50 million, which I think is the highest R-rated
movie. They thought $30
million,
and it made $50 million.
Oops.
Which was crazy for a movie that was streaming and released in theaters for it to make $50
million. Yep.
But it made the theater goers happy because it showed that people would come out, you know. But I do think this will drop off quickly. I think the word of mouth on it is not going to be great.
No.
So I think you'll see it drop to nothing next weekend.
Yeah, it's funny. That Shatner mask was not even an original idea. That was done 2 years earlier in a movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Bill Shatner, yes.
Yeah, it was like Devil's Rain or something like that. Phil, can you look it up?
Oh, Devil's Rain. I remember.
Killer Hair.
They used the exact same mask in that movie.
Oh.
Wow, I forgot that.
Yeah. Can you imagine being the guy who made Devil's Rain?
Right.
And you're watching this stuff? Yeah. You're like, Jesus.
Son of a...
Really?
Come on.
That was my idea. Joe, what's next?
Next, I have The Purge. They've made 4 movies in this series since it was launched in 2013. It's another case of a low-budget movie that really took off. I mean, the premise is in a slightly futuristic America. Every year they have an evening, 12-hour period, where you can commit any crime you want.
And oh, really?
You will not suffer any consequences. And so rich people barricade themselves in their houses and just hold out, you know, for the 12 hours. But all kinds of crazy things happen. I mean, the first is still the best, I think, with Ethan Hawke. But they're well done. The premise is interesting. There's a lot of suspense. It makes some, you know, in this case, they make a little bit of political commentary about modern America, and it fits in with the premise. It's not tagged on like they did with Halloween Kills.
Oh, wow. So it makes sense. It's funny because when that movie came out,
sense.
I'm like, that's stupid. And then now you look at it, it's like, oh, well, that's every night.
I thought it was Supermodels Purge.
Yes. Yeah. And they're well made. They're suspenseful. Each one is slightly different. In the second one, they had kind of they involved the candidate running for president of the United States. I mean, they also made a series, which I've never seen. It was on, I think it was on USA briefly. That's available on streaming, too.
And is it gory, suspenseful, scary?
Good.
It's I would say more suspense than scary, but it's definitely creepy. And like in the first one, the kid in the family lets this guy who was being chased by a mob into their house. So they have to then fight off these purge people who are demanding that this guy be thrown out of the house so that they can kill him.
Oh. Hmm. All right.
It's very, very unsettling.
You know what's interesting about that premise is that each movie you could have it set in a different part of the country. Like New York City would be one whole scenario, and then somewhere in the
yes.
South would be a whole nother.
Yeah, seriously, yeah.
just stay home.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's got a gun. Grandma's
right.
got a gun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the setup is in each one, for various reasons, people find themselves stuck outside when this lockdown happens.
Oh, during Purge Day,
so
yeah.
They have to fight their way through those 12 hours.
Oh, did they explain why they're stuck outside?
Yeah. In one case, like this couple is desperately, I think it's the second one, they're desperately trying to get back home. Their car breaks down, you know, and they're racing, and they just miss the deadline. So they have to sort of take shelter, actually, in a very impoverished part of L.A.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Let me take a call here. Chaz and AJ.
Yeah, they're worth watching.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah. Nope. No, you're on.
Yeah, you know. Oh, you know, The Purge is pretty much a ripoff of an episode of the original series of Star Trek.
Really?
Return of the Archons.
Really?
Huh.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know who the hell was the guest starring it. I think Harry Fry or something like that. But yeah.
The original Star Trek?
I didn't know that.
The original Star Trek.
What's the episode called?
Wow.
Return of the Archons?
Return of the Archons. Because they were there originally, then they came back. The Archons.
No, something like that. It's just like, I may not be correct on the
name. I'm looking it up now.
Yeah. We're looking it up right now.
A purge kind of a situation.
Okay.
Wow.
I like your voice, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's see. Return of the Archons. Archons.
So the calls come from someone's basement.
Is a 21st episode, first season of American Science Fiction, Star Trek, written by blah, 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 based on a story from Gene Roddenberry, directed by blah, 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 first aired February 9th, 1967. In the episode, the crew of the Enterprise visit a seemingly peaceful planet.
Oh.
Whose inhabitants are of the body, are controlled by an unseen ruler, and enjoy a night of violence during festival.
Quote. Oh, it's called Saturday.
Wow.
The episode contains Star Trek's first reference to the Prime Directive.
Prime Directive.
But it sounds like they go to a planet, it seems like everything's cool, and then it's like, oh, it's welcome to festival.
Yep.
And it's like Purge.
Wow. I wonder.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder if the Purge people saw that, I guess.
I'm assuming they did.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a coincidence.
What else is on your list, Joe?
I have Paranormal Activity. There are 7 movies, and I kind of put this on because there's a new one that's going to be released on October 29th. I think it's going to be in theaters and also on Paramount+. This is one of those found footage franchises, really a spin-off of Blair Witch, you know, where it's all video that's being made for a purpose and things happen within the video. First one is still the best. You know, there's sort of a ghost in the house and they have these night vision cameras and stuff. Some people complain, you know, that nothing happens for a long, long time, but it's kind of the point. It builds up to the suspense of it.
It's funny. People don't have the patience for that anymore.
No, they want, like, right away.
They don't. No, some people don't. You know, Cloverfield was another one where they did the found footage. That became really popular after Blair Witch.
And we're talking about Halloween movies. Scariest one. One that scared you the most. AJ?
Actually, you mentioned it right then. The movie It. Pennywise the Clown, the first one with Tim Curry. He played an excellent. He did was just like,
that was unsettling.
Want a balloon, Georgie? But he also was funny as well as scary.
Mm.
You know, like when kid Bill had a start, goes, "How you doing, blah, blah, blah. Bill?" Yeah.
Yeah, very the funny weird movie. The ending was weird.
Yeah.
But the whole movie was great
yeah.
up until the ending.
I mean, when he grabbed that first kid, Georgie, in the beginning, I mean, then you knew it was going to be a scary movie.
Yep.
So mine would be It.
Joe the Barber.
Good morning. I'm going with Halloween. I saw it on my birthday on Halloween, 1978, when it came out. My father took me to go see it.
Your birthday is on Halloween?
You got it.
No.
That's cool.
So you have to get your own candy, obviously.
Great.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Get your own cake.
That's great. Saw the movie. We went trick-or-treating, and then my dad took me to go see the movie. Terrifying, just the way John Carpenter puts Michael Myers in the movie. You know, positioning, standing there, watching you know, Jamie Lee Curtis,
yes.
the killer.
Yeah.
It's creepy. Creepy.
Thank you.
There she is now.
Yeah.
Cold toilet seat.
I don't know if it's the scariest now, but Exorcist freaked me out.
You know, I've still
that wasn't
seen
really
that.
Like a horror movie. It was more of a... Yeah.
Yeah.
They did make multiple movies. So they made a second one, which was not that great. And then the third one was pretty good.
It's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's better.
It's definitely not the original's probably the best horror movie ever made.
And then they put in some footage. They re-released The Exorcist with new footage, and there was one clip. I never saw the movie, but when they advertised it, it was her walking up and down the crab walk.
Yeah.
Crab walk. Why would you not put that in a movie?
That's seriously.
Scarier than anything.
I never understood that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Why
I think
that
it tested out. I think it was too terrifying.
But folks were laughing. Crab
that
walk,
makes
huh?
sense. Because the 70s, it was a whole different level of... How much can we freak people out?
Exactly. In doses.
Yeah.
They had like a very like avant-garde kind of trailer like before the movies, like to promote the movie, like before its release. And it just, there was no warning. And then everyone was like, whatever this trailer is, you have to stop showing it because it's giving people nightmares.
Oh, wow.
It's just like the white faces flashing on the screen. Everyone's like,
yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah.
The Queen video.
Very strobe.
Yeah, and that was another one of those movies. It wouldn't do well today because it took so long to build up.
You're absolutely right. It takes about 45 minutes, an hour, really, for her to become possessed.
But once it happens, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep.
Jeff?
Yep.
Jeff?
Hi. Yes, Jeff.
Hey, The Conjuring.
Yeah, I agree.
I have that on my list. Terrific, terrific.
I bet you didn't sleep for days, right?
I didn't sleep for days after a while. I would see shadows in the bedroom at night, and I just wide awake.
Yes, and the sequels are good, too.
Well, and the other scary thing about it is it's real, man. It's a real story.
I know.
Hey, when it's real.
Great. Have a good one.
Totally.
You too, thank you.
That was really, it was the joy of seeing the movie in a theater when you're freaking out together.
Yeah.
The whole crowd.
Yep.
That closet scene, that has to go down in history as one of the scariest, you know, jump back moments in a movie.
Make sure you're empty. Yep.
Take your call here. Eric?
Yes, hi.
Ron Konkama.
Hey,
good morning.
Yo.
Good morning. So my two scariest movies, one's not a horror film, but the other one is. The first one is The Howling. The one with the werewolf?
Yeah, The Howling, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember that one. I remember hearing about it. I couldn't tell you one scene from it.
I remember the ad, yeah.
Okay.
Was that the one where, like, people become werewolves and some lady newscaster?
Yes, yeah. Lady news. In fact, they're putting out a restored version of that on video as we speak.
Yeah, she becomes one on TV. She goes, ah! Like, to let everybody know it's real. She goes, ah! Yeah. She becomes a werewolf on television. Yeah.
How does that go?
Ah! Yeah.
In her mouth goes sideways?
Like her eyes get all, like, well, weird, and then all of a sudden she, like, just, like,
the ending.
Yeah.
And the other one was not, it was a nuclear war film. It was called Special Bulletin. And the funny thing about that one was we turned that on. Me and my mom turned that on one night really late. And we thought it was like War of the Worlds. We thought it was actually happening. Yep. It freaked us out. So they cut the commercial and we're like, wait, when are they having a commercial when somebody blew up a nuke?
Right.
Wait, what's it called? I want to see that one. What's it called?
Special bulletin.
Special.
Yeah, and when they originally showed it on NBC, they did have to put warnings on because it's done in the form of news coverage of a nuclear terrorism event.
Like the day after was the same thing.
Exactly.
Where you saw the bomb go off.
Somebody was a terrorist, though, and it was really creepy.
Oh, I'm going to watch both
really
of those.
Scary.
I never saw The Howling.
It's very scary.
Heard of it. Right. And Special Bulletin.
It's good. It's good. Yeah, they're both good.
Oh, great call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bob.
How you doing?
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
I think one of the scariest movies was The Omen.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I had that on my list, actually.
Demon Child, yes.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, yep. I'm going to let you go because we got a little bit of air noise with you on the cell phone there. But The Omen, that seems like it was Hollywood's response to the success of The Exorcist.
Yeah, you had a little boy this time instead of a girl.
It really was. There were a whole slew of, and The Exorcist, you could say, was the response to Rosemary's Baby. You know, there were a whole slew of demonic kind of movies in the wake of Rosemary. Yeah.
Right, all with the same format, all around the same time. Yeah, that makes sense.
Basically.
Most famous scene in The Omen, AJ.
Oh, when the guy's head gets cut off by the plate of glass.
Ooh.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
That's like, if I were to tell you everything that happened in that movie, that's probably all I could tell you.
And the nanny hung herself in the beginning, too.
This is
for you, Damien!
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes!
Yes. Most folks get a pinata.
Yeah.
Right.
It was the kid's birthday party.
Birthday party, and she jumped off.
Right. Yeah, just say you forgot to get him a gift.
That's right at the beginning. Yeah.
It's like, wow,
horrifying.
This kid's a brat.
Seriously, right?
If your nanny is just jumping off a building on her.
Yeah.
Rope.
Yeah. It's like, well, either take care of the kid, serve cake, or kill myself. I'll go with the third one, yes.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.